We're instructed in the Word of God to kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little. But blessed are they who put their trust in him. And so if you're rejoicing in God's goodness to you, let's sing, Come, My Soul, Bless Thou the Lord. It's number 10. before we have prayer, let's turn to hymn number 559. 559. Cast thy burden on the Lord. Showing us this DVD from the Lordship Conference of the Ecclesiastical Law Center. Good preaching. Some of it is troubling to me. It's not life feel right, but it's good. And we'll get to understand some of it a little later. I give you those announcements. I would say this before I pray, that I am on a sabbatical. That doesn't mean I'm on vacation. You got the idea the preacher is goofing off. I got news for you. Talk to my wife, and she's got a list made for me to get done around this place. And I've been working. I've been studying. There's been maintenance. I want to thank you for that gift. I could put a note up on the board and tell you how much I appreciate it, but let me tell you personally. That was a wonderful gift. To our surprise, the heating tanks were empty. Not completely. And the delivery man said, I better start your furnace for you. I said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, the amount of fuel it took to fill those two tanks, it must be empty. I said, well, it's still running. So let me go see it. and it was still running practically nothing. So thank you for that. We filled the tanks. I broke my glasses. Couldn't repair them. Had to go to the doctor anyway. I had an official doctor appointment and got new glasses. Thank you for your gift. I've got, after the tithe, I've got a couple $100 towards real estate tax. Things go on, even if you've taken a sabbatical. And Josh asked me if I'd take his place this morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. Now let's pray. Our Father, we're grateful this morning that we have access to the throne of grace and mercy through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. His work at Calvary, his shed blood, making it all possible that you hear us, not because of who we are or what we are, but we do say, Abba, Father, and we ask that you would look upon us. This morning, here we are. You've arranged for us to be here. We don't want to be disappointed. We ask for the presence of the Spirit of God upon each of our lives. We have needs. We need help. And so this morning, though we may not be cognizant of it, may we see what we need. May you work in our lives. Yes, savingly to those who are lost, and sanctifying to those who are saved, and that we might leave this place saying it's been good to be in the presence of the Lord and God's people. And so may the word be precious to us. And as we are mindful of others who have need of our loved ones, friends, neighbors, and relatives, we ask for your working in hearts and lives. Those who have need spiritually, those who have need physically, we ask for your care upon them. You know, Lord, those that are on our hearts. And collectively, we're concerned that this precious gospel may go forth. Help us as we get forth by way of literature. Help us by way of now of the internet site, that these precious truths may get out, and that we being small, Lord, being in the way you use us. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated. Let's take that hymn going. Let's sing some more of these good hymns. You know, there's temptations. 658. Yield not to them. 658.
Yield not to temptations, for Yeah.
26, or a few pages back, 626. This is what God wants. A man, men that bless the Lord, walk in his way. That word man includes you women too and children. 626. Position of Hebrews some time ago. Now let's go back and look at a few of these verses that are applicable to the day in which we live. So we have the fifth chapter now of Hebrews. We want to start verse 11. We want to continue reading through to the sixth chapter to the end of the third verse. Now in the old days, in reverence for God's holy word, they would stand as it is read. And I think that's still good for this day. Let's stand in reverence. Perhaps we'll read this together. Verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and largely others, seeing you have all hearing. For when in time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, out of the doctrine of baptisms, and the laying on of the hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. May God's blessing be upon His holy word. Please be seated and find this hymn before we study this passage. And that is hymn number 419. I need thee, precious Jesus. 419.
I need thee, precious Jesus.
On the way out, you might want to pick up one of these Spurgeon's messages. You say, well, I think they can be dull, not this one. He tells about the story of God's mighty acts. And that philosophy says, well, just don't forget the good old days. They're the good old days. He said, now, wait a minute. You need to understand about the days we are living in. Stick one of these in your Bible. Read it. It'll help you spiritually. After all, we're talking this morning along that same line. And I have been thinking about this subject for some time. And when Josh called and asked if I would take his place this morning, I felt it'd be good. And I hope you will get something out of it. I do have a few notes. I don't know if I'm going to call it a sermon or not, but you get what you get, and I have asked the Lord to bless it. And I'm not trying to take anything from the shoe man. What's his name? Shoe guy. What's his name? Dr. Watt Scholes! Here's this advertisement. Are you jilling? Listen, I don't care for the advertisement, but are you telling? It's important because, listen, this is God's Word. And He says, if you're not telling, something's wrong. This generation is not telling. We hear plenty of John 3:16, but that's milk. And He said, that's for babies. He said, you got to be doing more than that. But that's very important. I'm not making light of that. But you see, get the background. You studied Hebrews, as we have as a congregation here. Remember, these were Christians. These were the Jews that got saved. And when they got saved, I mean, the whole crowd began to say, that's not right. This Jesus, that's not so. And they put the old squeeze on them. They lost their jobs. They lost their homes. They lost families. They were persecuted. Read the 11th chapter and tells you how they were persecuted. These people are saying, after 30 years now. Where do you get that? This 5th chapter is beginning to say, these people from some time they've been saved. And so now, he says, now listen, that preacher, he's talking to him about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus, and he said, you know, I got things I should tell you here, so great, a wonderful truths. And he said, you know, I just found something out. Melchizedek would be a good study, but he says, I can't do it. I can't give this to you. About the great priesthood of Christ. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. You mean you can't preach? Or haven't you been able to study this? Is some great mystery? He said, no, that's not it at all. He said, you people. He said, you people are sluggish. You're lazy spiritually. Come on, preacher, that's too hard. He said, it's true. Look at the scripture and we'll try to stay nearby. We're not going to jump all over the place. I want to go to Luke, though. Other than going to the Gospel of Luke, I want to stay here with you and with me. You know, some people, they look at you and say, hey, preacher, you know, you really ought to lose some weight. You know, you ought to do this, preacher. You ought to do this. Let me tell you something. I take that and I say, okay, that's fine. That's fine. I want to talk about getting fit spiritually. You can talk about getting fit physically. That's fine. I won't argue with you. You want to talk about getting smart, educated. That's fine. But I want to tell you the most important thing is about getting fit spiritually. And this passage is saying why you need to be fit spiritually. Don't go calling me about this and this and your big thing. Tell me about Christ and what it means to be a real Christian at home and at work and at school. Say, well, I don't know. I know why you don't know. The preacher said, you're a bunch of babies. Now, wait a minute. We've been saved 30 years. He said, I know that. This is the context. I know that. But he said, you can't do it. You're dull of hearing. You're sluggards, spiritually. Come on. Yes, sir, it's true. Well, these people said, I'm kind of tired of this kind of thing. I want a religion that I can just, oh, peace. Please give me some peace. I don't want anything to trouble me. I want to be affluent in this society. I don't want to go to heaven yet. I want my heaven here, and I want things real nice here. Oh, please, please. I don't want to be bearing the cross of Christ. I think religion ought to be nice and smooth. He said, you're forgetting something. You're forgetting something. You don't got it right. Hello? This is God's word. This isn't the old preachers having something to say. You listen up. This is God's holy word. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You better hear God in this because it has to go through me. And I know what I'm talking about. I know what it is not to have a spirit of discernment. You walk around and say, well, spiritually, I think things are pretty good. I don't think we need to worry about it. Yeah, people dying and going to hell. And you're not progressing. You're regressing. You're backsliding. And you're not telling. And the Word of God says something's wrong. You better examine yourself and see whether you'd be in the faith. Say, I know the Lord, but is he really your master? I tell you, say, where'd you get this? I've been studying. And I came on this need of discernment. Boy, I don't think a church has discernment. I know the churches can't afford the heat, and they're not having meetings in their big buildings. I heard about that. That's not concerning me. I heard about people that they everything's gray. That is what concerns me. Everything's relative. You buy into the cultural mandate. You get just like them. And yet the Word of God says we're to be distinctive. And what are we? Just blopping through? I tell you what. If we used the principles of education and gave grades, some of you would say, I think maybe I guess maybe I ought to listen up here a little. If God would give us grades, you might find out that you're not what you think you are. And that includes the pulpit. Anyway, he says there's this great lack of discernment and you're not telling people about Christ. But I want you to see these words here. I tell you, he said, I have a lot of things I want to tell you, the preacher, and to the church at the Hebrew church there, verse 11. And he said, I have many things to say, but and they're hard to be uttered. That is to be explained. Well, preacher, study. He said, that isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I can explain, there's no big mystery about the priesthood of Christ after the manner of Melchizedek. I'm telling you the problem is what? Is that you're dull of hearing. Now, you say, people, well, that's fine, but we always say you ought to see what it says in the Hebrew or the Greek. You say, well, all right, you tell us what's in the Greek, because I'm not a Greek scholar, you're saying. Yeah. Boy, it's really something. I even looked in the German to make sure that I had this right. He said, you know, you have been Christians now after maybe 30 years, you have become dull of hearing. Oh, no. I've been there, done that, preacher. Ye are dull of hearing. All right. What does that mean? It means sluggard. It means to be not listening. You know what that is? Well, have you ever had that happen? It's really kind of shocking. Well, no, it isn't. Just come here at 9 o'clock at night, and we turn the TV on to watch a Hallmark movie. And ask your wife what happens, or my wife. She said, you're sleeping. Yeah. I'm not that interested. Well, that's the way it is spiritually, too. I'm not that interested. Click. Turned off. I don't want to hear that guy. I don't want to hear real preaching. What I want to hear, I want some present-day entertainment. I want some hoop-de-doo here so I can be, you know, really enjoy my Christianity, my sweet peace. And he does give a peace that passes understanding. Don't trouble me. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me I don't know what that is. I can shut you off. We were having a couple of men explain to us electronically about the system here, and they kept talking to me, and you know what happened to me? Bango. You give me all that geek talk, I don't know all that geek talk. I just shut down. And the Bible said that's what you can do spiritually. Just shut down. He says, you're dull of hearing. Oh, come on. You're not listening. You're not even trying to understand. I don't want to hear more. By the way, I've been sitting in the chairs too. You can shut down. I don't want to hear more. He said, I have a lot of these good things to tell you about Christ and His priesthood. And he says, I can't explain it to you because you're spiritually lazy. Hard words. But that's the Word of God. He said, you just shut off. You know, as I was looking at this passage, I went to Luke because there's a couple passages in Luke that I think are apropos and that I'd like to just turn you there for a moment because it kept ringing in the back of my mind. It's like Luke 8, isn't it? And I said, yeah, you know, it really is like Luke 8. And what do you mean? Well, this parable of the seed, you know, it tells the different kinds of conditions for the seed. And he says there's this condition of verses 14 and 15, and some of us are getting ready to do gardens and the flowers and so forth, but now, just think it spiritually. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 8, he said, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection, but that on the good ground are they which in that honest and good heart, having heard the word, but not just heard it, but they kept it, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. What's it saying there? Very elementary. It's saying, you know, you can get choked out with the cares of this life. Hey, what do you think about this thing that we heard on the radio? Well, I have my opinion. I think it's the administration's fault. And you can go like that and talk like that all day long. Hey, hey, what do you think about this weather condition? Eh? You say, oh, well, the weather, we can see, talk about the weather. And these are legitimate. Hey, you want to make money? I'll tell you how to make money. Hey, you want to hear about my hobby? I'll tell you about my hobby. I can talk, 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 talk. But are you telling? I mean, these things are going to pass away, burn up, but eternity's ahead, friends. And you say, well, I'm interested in here. Yeah, okay, all right. But this is not to be your emphasis. I tell you, the cares of this life, you can be what we call, what would you call that? Overload. Now, I don't know much about it, but if you get an overload on your electrical thing, the breakers go boom. If you're not careful, you can get so bogged down with your thing and your life and your health and all the things that go with it that you have an old sensory overload. And when you get a sensory overload, you shut off God. And the most important thing is eternity, not this old life. You're going to die and go in the grave and you're going to get a new body. Now let's wise up. Talk about all these things and have a look. Talk about sports. Man, I can tell you these scores. I can tell you where they are in the league. And you say, well, that's all right. It's all right. It is. But when you crowd out, have no time, shut off spiritual things. I don't want to hear any things like that. I just want to be left alone and enjoy myself. These Hebrews were doing that. And while we're in Luke, we ought to probably go to the 21st chapter while we're in the same book. What do you mean, the cares of this life? Yeah, that's right. You get overload. Luke 21. Look at verse 34 and following. You know, I'm really concerned about this. Now it says, the word of God says, take heed to yourselves. Don't be just preaching to others, preacher. Take heed to yourselves, and that includes you there, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. How? With surfeiting and drunkenness. Watch this one. Boy, we got to be busy. The cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. What happened to him? Well, he died, didn't you know? His funeral's day after tomorrow. Oh, really? For as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. Pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God, the Son of Man. There's nothing to worry about. These preachers trying to shake us up. This is God's word. I tell you, these people, they were backsliders. They gave their best intellectually to the other things of this life. This life. Legitimate. Legitimate. Majored on this life. Backsliders. You say, well, what is a backslider? Well, it's sliding backwards. Not progressing. Not going on. But going this way. Back and back. Well, don't you make a distinction between backsliding and apostasy? Yes. Apostasy is when you fall away and you never will come back. Never really genuine. Maybe got enthusiastically, religiously, and did a little pomp and circumstance religiously, but you're no longer interested. Fallen away completely. That's apostasy, to fall away. No, backsliding is it can be changed. I'm glad for that. Oh, that's encouraging. You know, the old saying, you use it or what? Huh? Use it or what?
Lose it.
Okay, friends, you said it. Say, well, I don't know what it's getting at here. You don't? I do. Pretty easy to see what it's at. And you go through religious motions. You know, sometimes we get hard on the Pharisees. But I think sometimes we can be Pharisees. What do you mean by that? Well, I was talking to a bishop in the Amish church this week, and man, ain't got it. Nice guy. Knows some of the book, no question about that. I know the Bible, dress right. I go to church. What are you saying? I do this, I've been baptized. Hey. The Pharisees were all that. And they believed the book. They could quote that book. But they didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. They didn't want to believe that he is a fulfillment of all of those things in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. This is the one who is now the New Covenant. He said, no, we don't believe that. No. And I'm telling you, friends, you can go through religious emotions, even look good and smell good. And I want to tell you something. It's more than just emotions. Movement. The Bible makes it clear. Oh, well, they weren't intellectually dumb then. No, they didn't need to go to hear the hearing doctor. They could hear. But they didn't understand. The Lord talks about that. No problem here. You know, you can get wax in there and get dull hearing. I've heard of cases like that. Got too much wax in your ear and you can't... What'd you say? Huh? Somebody said, go get your ears clean. And sure enough, get the wax on. Well, I can hear now. We're not talking about physical hearing. This business that it's talking about here is that... this business of not telling and not discerning and being babies, baby Christians. Well, before we get to the babies, it said we ought to be teachers. No, wait a minute, preacher. I wasn't called to be a school teacher. I don't know what that verse is really saying there. That doesn't apply to me. I'm not the teacher. I'm not a teacher from my home school. But what's it mean there that verse 12? It says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the elementary oracles of the Word of God, and are become such as need of milk and not strong milk or strong meat. You say, I'm not a teacher. I don't know what it doesn't even mean anything to me. Yes, you are. Surprising with the things that what you do, a spouse. You talk to people. But it contextually, it means telling, teaching, telling. Telling about the Lord Jesus. Well, my life, I live the life. They can see me go to church Sunday morning. I go there regularly. They don't hear me beating on my wife. I take care of my husband, wash his clothes and feed him. Like an Amishman said to me, I asked him about whether he's born again. He said, well, he said, you go talk to my banker. He'll tell you. Yeah, that's good. That's the way some of you would answer probably too. You just look at my life. And that will tell you whether I'm a Christian. Uh-uh. Teaching or telling. Telling about the Lord. We're going to talk about babies. Babies can't talk, but they're cute. But when you get 30-some years of age and more, it's a monster. Monstrosity. You can't talk and go, goo, goo, goo. I can tell you about the government. I can tell you taxes. I can tell you about health. And I can tell you about the diets. And I can tell you about sports. I can tell you about all my hobbies. But I goo, goo, goo about spiritual things. I can't tell. So I'm not telling. He said, that's exactly the problem there. It's a problem with some of us. Can't talk. Haven't learned to talk yet. 30-some years, he said, you still need sugar water? You sure need to, still need the thinnest of milk? Yeah. I want to hear the ABCs. You just give me John 3:16 and some entertainment and some fun and some jokes, and I'll fill your church. But I don't want to hear that. They're strong, solid meat. What do you think this is? Seminary? College? Well, this one-on-one business is important. When was the last time you said, hey, friend, I can tell you a little bit about that. You know, your real problem is this. You know, what do you mean? Well, then explain it to them. Give them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, do all the other good things. They need some help. Give them help. Yeah. Sure, do that. But don't forget to do the major thing. That is the eternal thing. Their soul salvation. When's the last time one-on-one you talked to somebody about the Lord Jesus? Invite them to come and hear the Word of God. Well, teachers. That's talking about teaching the Word of God, but it says, no, verse 12. I'm sorry, people. The church, the Hebrew of their church, he said, you know, I have to go over you with the ABCs again. That's like taking a senior in college and say, hey, Buster, how you doing? He said, I'm on the dean's list. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Let's talk about spiritual things. He said, what do you mean, spiritual things? I made a decision for Jesus Christ when I was a kid. Yeah, that's fine. You made a decision for Christ and talk about the Lord. He said, I don't know much about it. I guess I'd have to say I have to go back to 101 ABCs. What? 30-some years or more saved, and you have to have the ABCs? That is, it says there, the first principles, verse 12 of the Word of God. You can't handle strong, solid food. He said, now I'll tell you, the reason is, you're a babe, verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. That word in the Greek is an interesting word. What word? We all know what babes are. It means an infant. 30-some years of age, 40 years of age, 50, 60, 70 years of age and more, and a babe. Now that's something wrong. Beginners. I like babies. I sure do. But I don't like them, and we have to think that, now, I have done my job as a Christian. I'll let the younger people take over. And I'll go back into my infancy. I'll go back into second childhood. When I see older people acting like babies, when I see Christians acting like babies, it upsets me. I don't want to go back into a second childhood. Do you want to go back into second childhood? I'm supposed to grow. You're supposed to grow spiritually. What are you talking about? That's what the Word of God says. So I just say, well, you know, I'm giving up. I'm retiring, you see. I'll just be one of these old guys and be a second childhood. Now listen, babies are sweet. I love them. I can't understand why this generation, but it's me, isn't it? I tell you what, the generation don't want any kids. You know why? They want to have a good life, and they want to have messy kids, and it costs money to raise kids. I don't want to have any kids. I don't want any kids. I want the good life. Now, my heart goes out to those who want children and can't have them. But there's other resources. I know that. So I love children. When I see a family, say, well, that's interesting. Don't I see that anymore? One, two, three, four, five! You have five of them. I talked to many, said, I had 7 boys and 4 girls. Woo! That's a lot of kids. Boy, how'd you ever do that? I can't afford kids. No, the reason you can't afford kids is you believe you got to have it on your own self. You're still baby. It's me. Me. I don't want to do anything spiritually. I don't want anything to do to talk to these little babes in Christ that are just saved. I don't have time to talk to them either. I got other things to do. I don't want any of those babies either. I can't talk anyway. Why? Because I'm still a baby. Oh, come on. Yeah. You know, when you see pictures of babies doing funny things, eating their birthday cake and pushing their face in and going, and we'd laugh and laugh, say, is that cute? Babies do wonderful little things. But babies love to be hugged, and you say, I love to hug them. Yes, sir. But I'll tell you something about babies. They're demanding. They're demanding. And I know it isn't nice to say this, but they'll eat anything that comes around. They can eat mud. Sorry, but they can eat their own dung. No! Just don't get excited now. It's true. And baby Christians can eat the dumbest things spiritually, and they think that, oh, I read this book, and woo-woo! Junk. Can't talk. Have you talked to somebody about the Lord? Hey, wait a minute. That's a preacher's job. It is, too. I mean, haven't you sat down and talked to him about Christ? Well, you know what? The Bible says, God says you're an infant. You're a baby. No, I'm not. I love the Lord. That's fine. Have you gone beyond John 3:16 in your life yet? You're 30-some years? Well, I don't know what you mean by that. But this word babe, look at it there. It says, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, a child. Whew. Wow. That is quite an indictment. I'm depending on others. I depend on others. I depend on the preacher for my spirituality. I can't study. I don't know how to study. I don't read the Word of God. I just go to church. Is that right? How much time do you spend reading the newspaper, magazine, books, and watching TV? Well, now that's, you know, we got, you know, let's be reasonable. Yeah, let's be reasonable. Let's be reasonable. Do you have a set time to read the Word of God? Ah, come on. No, no, seriously. It's eternity. Your dumb hobbies are going to pass away. And you say, they're not dumb, thank you. No, I'm just simply saying, you don't have it on the right syllable, spiritually speaking. Can't you kind of find a way to slip away from maybe watching the TV, or can't you slip away a little bit from the internet? Can't you slip away and read some scripture? You say, well, I don't understand it anyway. I'm sorry. That's what I'm talking about. We say, I can't understand that. I have to have somebody explain it to me. You mean you have to have the ABCs? Woo-wah? So you're really sarcastic. The Word of God's sarcastic. Oh. I just don't know. He says they don't know much about it. But verse 14. It's the sad indictment is, you can talk about being, you know, suppose you had a boy 10 years old, and he was in church, just like now, he's 10 years old, and he gets to really getting upset, and you say, excuse me, and you go, they got a bottle, here, he goes, 10-year-old. Drinking a bottle. He said, that's the way it is. That's you. See, that's awful. I'm sorry, that's it. He says, there's no discernment. You don't have any discernment. Well, I do so. Now, wait a minute. Let's look at this discernment passage. Verse 14. You know that strong food or strong meat? That's just for those who are a full age, the people who are mature, mature Christians. For even of those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discernment. Now that's an interesting word. The Greek even uses the word exercise in verse 14. That's the idea of being trained. A practicing. A gymnast. Spiritually speaking. He said, you know, that's what you need to do. Need some practicing. A gymnast, spiritually speaking. Now, how am I going to be a spiritual gymnast? Well, it's what you hear, you practice to do. Oh, I hear. No. We're to be not only hearers, but doers of the word. We're to practice the word. This is what God says. Now, it is the idea that you be able to practice spiritually so you'll be able to discern. That's what it means here. To discern. Look at verse 14. I said we'd stay close. To discern both good and evil. I know the difference between good and evil. You do? Really? That's interesting. That has the idea, I know the difference between good stuff and worthless stuff. Well, I spend all my time doing this. Well, is it good stuff or is it worthless? In the long run. The stuff that you spend so much time and you're in excellence about and you're authority on and you're an expert, is it really excellent stuff or is it worthless in the bottom line? I have to ask myself. Well, you sound like we can't have any relaxation. I didn't say that. Well, you sound like we have to be perfect. I didn't say that. I am saying there is something with us, something wrong with us, when we don't have discernment. Listen, when you hear or read or see, it says something about, well, like I just this week, I read that in the United States Armed Services, 670,000 present soldiers, that they have openly said there are 65,000 homosexuals and lesbians. Now, if you do that mathematically, 10.31% of the soldiers are homosexual and are lesbian. Am I going to tell this boy right here, listen, son, you ought to join the Army? Am I going to tell him that? Yes, sir, to be a man, you need to join the Army. I did something for me, and I think every man ought to go to the Army. My son, when he was in the service, he said, Dad, I want to tell you, it was so bad way back there. He said, never sleep on your stomach. I don't have any discernment. I think it'd be fine if they just, you know, join up and do it. You say, what are you doing here? What are you saying here, preacher? I'm simply saying, where's your discernment? Well, what's a girl going to do? She didn't really. She was forced and she's pregnant. She doesn't have a husband. Her parents are going to kick her out. What's she going to do? I guess she'll have to have an abortion. Well, abortion. I remember working a tree surgeon up in high trees. Nice, beautiful home down there. And my buddy said, you see that place? I said, yeah, that belongs to a doctor. Oh, yeah, fine. Lovely place. Where is he? What's he doing? He's in prison. Why? He performed abortions, illegal. Boy, that was way back there, wasn't it, preacher? Now again, abortion with it. Hey, it's all gray matter as far as I'm concerned. Homosexuality is just all gray matter. I mean, it's just a way of life, you know. Teach it in school, alternate marriage, lifestyles, living together. Hey, shacking out together. Hey, everybody's doing it. Pornography, well, hey, you can't help it. It's going to be there. So you might as well, you know, you might as well enjoy it. It's not going to hurt you. He said, you lack discernment. Morally quickly. You can get to a place where you say, well, I don't understand it either, but apparently it's all right, because in this great country of ours, if they say it's the law, it's the law, and I'm not going to fight the law. Yeah, that shows what a babe you are. You're to follow the Word of God. I didn't hear an amen. What's the matter here? Is that wrong? You are to follow God's holy Word. You say the law, I'm telling you, God says this is what you're supposed to do. Hey, Josh, you think they want me to preach again? You better stay on the schedule. No, seriously, I'm not being unkind. I've been doing some thinking. I have been on vacation, and this is what the Word of God's saying to us. Stay with the text. No discernment. No discernment. Well, I still remember when we made bullets, we used lead from wheel weights. Carl Henry and myself. So we had to take off all the dross. Get that metal, melt it, take off all that dross. Some of us spiritually don't know what dross is. You happen to give something greater than a $20 bill to a clerk, and she gets out her little penny, like that, checking it out. We don't even know what counterfeits are spiritually. Well, it's all right, because he's a preacher, and the preacher, he's got a big church, and he's doing fine. Yeah, it's okay. Discernment. Where are you getting that? Well, right there, the word is discern. You don't have to look for that word. It says that you haven't been a gymnast spiritually, and you're not into habit, and your senses. And that's talking about your intellectual senses. You don't. Your intelligence is not to take a vacation when you come to spiritual things. Yeah, I just take a vacation spiritually. No. You're supposed to use the same intelligence as you have for other things when it comes to spiritual matters. So you'd be able to discern what is excellent, what is good morally, what is wrong. This is what you're supposed to do and say, I think things are not very black and white, and I don't see things black and white as the preacher does. I think mostly things are gray. And so and you buy into humanism, a relativism, everything's kind of gray. I don't take a stand like that. I don't follow the preacher on those things. Uh-uh. Well, you're going to have to give an account of that. I think this business of being tolerant as Christians, we're going to have to give an account for it. It'll be wood, hay, and stubble when it comes to judgment seat. I haven't been speaking up. I am not telling. I'm not telling a young man. I say, young man, you're shacking out with her. I want to tell you something. The Bible says that's wrong. And it says that you'll go to hell for it. Where do you get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 6. And he said, what do you mean? I'm telling you, that's not right. Oh, that's your opinion. No, that's the Word of God. I want to tell you something. Homosexuality is, in the sight of God, is a horrible thing. No, the land says it's okay. You know, don't tell. You buy right into these things. And we're just nice Christians. I don't disturb the waters. Because if you disturb the waters, you won't be very popular. And the Hebrew Christians back there, they got the pressure put on and said, I think I'm going back to the Jewish system. Why? Because we didn't have the kind of pressure. We had it kind of nice. Go to church, be a nice fella. Go through the motions. Listen to the rabbis. All right. I want you to go to verse 1, chapter 6. You say, are you done? Almost. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Whoa, where are we coming from now? I know, hold on now. Let us go on to perfection. On to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith, the word God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permits. Say, I don't understand that, boy. That's a rough one. The reason you don't understand it, you're a babe. Because he's saying here, these Hebrews, he said, I'm going to go back to the Jewish religion. I'm going back. He said, no, don't go back. You can't go back. You said you love the Lord Jesus. Yeah, I love the Lord Jesus, but I'm going back. I'm going back to the modernist church. I'm going back to the liberal church. Because they have church. They have a Bible up there in the pulpit. And they got preachers. I don't go back there. And they won't disturb me. Or I'll go to a charismatic, jump up and down, have a good hoop-de-doo, and get some chills in my back, and say, "Hallelujah, everything's just wonderful." And have some jazz music along the side. Boy, you are. No, it says, listen, go on, you have foundation. Yes, sir? Foundation in Christ. Yes, sir? Now, go on, build on this foundation. There's the old covenant, the Old Testament. Yeah, yeah. Well, now we're on the new covenant with Christ being the head. Yeah, yeah. Now, build on Christ. Like what? Well, like this passage here, it says that leaving the principles, the elementary ABCs of the doctrine of Christ, and those doctrines of the old covenant were all those types and symbols of the Old Testament. All those practices were showing forth Christ coming. Go beyond that. Now we have Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, fine. I'll build on that. Now let's go on to perfection, that is maturity. Maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, they had a lot of talk about repentance in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Yeah, a lot about repentance. And that's important. But their actions were just dead actions. Going through the motions. We don't want to go through the motions. Look like a Christian, smell like a Christian, walk like a Christian, and so forth. Listen, go beyond that. Build on that. Build on your foundation. What else? Well, under the old covenant, there was a matter of the faith towards God, and that was excellent. But build on this faith towards God. How about the doctrines of baptism? They had a lot of washings in the Old Testament covenant. They kept doing this, washing and so forth, immersing things. Now, don't be in that realm. Let's go on. Build on that. Cleansing. Righteousness. It said the babes up there, I didn't bring it out, but it says in verse 13, he said, do you know why? They can't handle righteousness. They'll tell about righteousness because they're babies in verse 13. Anyway, I'm not back there. I'm on this matter of verse 2, the matter of resurrection of the dead. They talked about the resurrection of the dead, and now build on it. Build the fact that you're going to be resurrected, and then of eternal judgment. So this will do if God permits. Don't be satisfied. We sing that hymn, I need thee, precious Jesus. Don't just be satisfied. Go on. You see those little words? They're beautiful words. Go on. I tell you, friends, in verse 1 there, they're leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Father. Let us go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's get this thing in gear and get it off the field. I said, boy, preacher, after 50 years of preaching, you still think that's the way it is? That's the way it is. You show me otherwise. Fact of the matter is, we have a few more minutes. I want us to sing that hymn, though. Where is that hymn? Oh, boy. What is the hymn? Good Lord, remember me. That's the hymn, 457. 457, in all my sorrow, conflicts, and woes, good Lord, remember me.
Oh.
flute, just two stanzas, rather. Then we're going to sit down and talk about this a few more minutes. That on the back.
When in the solemn
sit down, let's keep our eyes closed. Friends, remember, it's either heaven or hell. It's either Christ or yourself. If you don't know Christ, Savior, call upon the Savior from your sins. Savior from the eternal hell, and to know Him and to love Him. And now, grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's take a few minutes, for it's easy to forget time we have from now to this evening, after the evening service, perhaps some thought came to you. I'm sure that I could have covered areas more in detail, and some of it may be fragmented, but anyway, that's what you got. Perhaps you have some thoughts. You know, we heard Mike Hoover from Arizona. He has a radio program. He invites opposition. Wow, that'd be interesting. He invites opposition. Say, you don't agree with me? You call me. Let's talk about it. Maybe you don't agree with me. Let's talk about it. With the word of God. You know, we want to be fit. Is there such a thing as muscular Christianity? To be spiritually fit. Say, have you arrived, preacher? You know I have. Well, then what are you saying? I'm only giving you the word of God. You want a mushy Christianity? Is that what you want? Then go where there's mush. Where you can get a teat of some sort. Some milk. Some of the thinnest. I don't think we need that. That's not what God wants. All right, let's stand. My desire is the Lord will bless you and keep you for his name's sake. Amen.
That's quite a weekend ago.